You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Te Pāti Māori has recently launched a new policy to remove all GST prices from kai. This comes as food prices have had their highest price increase in a decade, increasing 5.9% from January 2021 to 2022. The concept has been talked about by the party since 2010, as well as Labour considering cutting tax from fruit and vegetables in the past. I spoke to Lincoln University Agricultural Trade Professor Ellen Renwick to learn more about the bill's implications. How does New Zealand's food and kai tax system currently work?
Well, it's relatively straightforward at the moment in that basically all food and drink purchased in New Zealand is subject to GST, which is a tax of about 15%.
How has this affected poorer communities of Aotearoa?
Well, effectively, the tax, as we would expect, raises the price of food to consumers. And we find that low-income households spend more of their income as a proportion on food than high-income households. So it falls disproportionately on the lower-income households, the poorest in our society. Therefore, you know, it's a regressive taxation. Yes, the government's raising money, but this tax is falling on these low-income households. And this is particularly a case at the moment when, you know, they're feeling it much more when we're having this high level of price inflation in food caused partly by COVID and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. These higher prices of food coupled with the tax on top of that are really hitting our low-income households. And we're beginning to see, you know, an extension of these problems with food poverty and the need for food banks and things like that.
You lived in the United Kingdom as well. How does our tax system compare to theirs?
Well, in the United Kingdom and a number of other countries, most foodstuffs are exempt because it's recognised that this issue about its impact on lower income households. But you do still pay tax in restaurants, on hot food in takeaways, and particular types of food as well, such as confectionery, crisps and savoury snacks. So there's a sort of a differentiation that all, you know, it's not that all food is equal in these countries. They vary depending on the nature of the food.
What sort of impacts and advantages do you think that cutting a food tax in New Zealand could see?
Well, if the cut was passed through to consumers, then I think it would, you know, potentially have an advantage for our lower income households, particularly at the moment where we're having these rising prices. We've seen inflation in food going up considerably, partly through COVID impacts on our supply chains. We've also seen, obviously, the coming impacts of the Russia-Ukraine war. So our food prices have been rising fast at the moment, and as we're saying, this falls disproportionately on the lower income households who are probably struggling already to purchase food. So potentially anything that could alleviate some of that pressure would be a good thing, and in a sense it would be quite targeted in that the lower income households are spending proportionately more on food, so it would be of most benefit to them.
Do you think that there are any issues that could come out of this policy?
Oh, there's quite a few challenges, I suppose, as always with these sorts of policies. And the first issue is complexity. I mentioned the situation in the UK and in Ireland as well, where I lived, where if you begin to exempt some products and not other products, that does become quite tricky. So there's ended up in big court cases in Ireland where the authorities in Ireland deemed that Subway bread had too much sugar in it to be classed as bread and was therefore liable for the VAT. And Subway took to court saying, no, it's bread, these sort of things. In other countries, you know, in the UK, depending how much chocolate you have on the biscuit will determine whether or not it's has to have VAT on it. So you can get these real complexities of trying to work out what is and what isn't exempt. So that can add costs. So you need to, you know, work out are the benefits greater than those costs in complexity. We've also obviously just had the Commerce Commission report on the lack of competition in supermarkets. And one of the key things about policies such as this is that you expect the price cut to be passed on. We've been hearing this week about concerns of whether the fuel companies would have passed on the cut in excise duty on fuel, And the same issues could well be with supermarkets, particularly as we've got this situation where the two dominate. So would this price cut actually even be felt by consumers would be a case. And of course, there's the issue, we've got to get tax from somewhere. You know, if we reduce taxes in one area, that means we either have to reduce government spending or we have to raise taxes elsewhere. So there's always that question. But of course, that tax could be got what we call in a more a fairer way, a, you know, progressive taxation such as income, rather than what we call this regressive taxation, such as food taxes, which fall more on the low-income households. There's also, I guess, a final point here, which is if we reduce this taxation on all foods, we're effectively making unhealthy foods cheaper as well. And we have a major obesity crisis in New Zealand. We have one of the highest rates of obesity in the developed world. Do we really want to be following a policy that makes unhealthy foods, the high sugar, et cetera, cheaper for people? So, you know, again, maybe we need to think about, is this actually for all foods, or do we try and target those more healthy foods to try and, you know, kill two birds with one stone? Maybe we can help the low-income households, but we can also tackle our health crisis that's coming from our unhealthy eating.
Do you think that this policy is something that we could ever see in New Zealand?
Well, it's interesting to say, because I think a week ago we would probably have said we were very unlikely to see a cut in excise duties in fuel, wouldn't we? And suddenly we get that. So we've had it in fuel. Perhaps we could do it in food, and maybe we could even do a temporary reduction. And if you think about what's happening, as food prices have been going up, the tax take from food, as it's a percentage tax, would also have been rising. So maybe there's some scope, if not for a permanent cut, for a temporary cut to alleviate these problems. I mean, they did that in the UK for the restaurants. As I said, restaurants, et cetera, had to pay VAT on food, customers did in the restaurants, but they cut that right down to 5% during the COVID. So potentially there's an opportunity for doing it in the short run. But, you know, again, it's hard to go back. When the UK introduced it, the policy, they didn't put it on food. It's probably harder to go back and work out, and costly to work out what to do it on at the moment. And again, I guess we always need to think about other ways to ameliorate the problem. What's the problem we're trying to solve? It's probably, you know, the impact on low-income households of high prices. So are there other ways we can help the incomes of low households through tax credits, reforming the tax system, which don't mean that we have to have a more complex tax system going into place? So again, there's always that, you know, what's the best way to tackle the problem that we perceive? And it may not be that cutting GST with the complexities and the risks, whether it's actually going to reduce prices, is the best way to do that.
That was Lincoln University Professor Alan Renwick on Te Pāti Māori's bill to let go of the goods and services tax on kai.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.